Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today our guest is Dave Cafaro. He's the author of a book, Leading from Zero, Seven Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. Dave, welcome to the show.
Pleasure to be with you, David.
You know, leading from zero, well, when I think about leading from zero, I think about someone who may have not had a lot of skills, maybe someone who is taking over for an organization or a position, and they don't necessarily understand where they need to go from here. Tell us a little bit about the topic. Tell us a little bit about the relevance to the audience today.
So that concept, the way you described it, I think is really good. But what I'm encouraging with this book is that wherever anybody is in their leadership journey, that they always take that mindset of starting from zero. So it really comes from the accounting practice of zero-based budgeting. And the concept there is that every time you do a budget, you don't assume that what happened in the past will happen in the future. So you don't assume a baseline of expenses. You don't assume a baseline of revenue. And so this concept says that leaders have to influence their organization to earn and sustain relevance with their stakeholders, with their employees, with their customers, with their partners, every single day. You can't assume anything. Just because people loved you yesterday, they loved your organization, they loved the products you built or whatever you did, doesn't mean that they're going to love you tomorrow. So you have to keep re-earning that and you have to sustain that.
You know, we talk about this a lot when we talk about leadership 101, is the fact that emotion plays a key role in people. And every day you're bending and twisting, and sometimes leaders deal with the challenges that emotion bring, because, you know, your phone can have a text come in and suddenly you are in this great mood and it changes instantaneously, or that you're dealing with something that you think is the way somebody was happy yesterday, and today it's a different set of circumstances. Does that fit into the category you're talking about?
Absolutely. In fact, that sort of leads into what I call this new paradigm, right? This operating model, which is built on some basic assumptions. The assumptions are that, first of all, the world is always changing, right? So the concept, you can never put your foot in the same river twice, acknowledging this dynamic nature of the operating environment and that things are in perpetual motion. That's just the nature of business. And that also, in order to sort of operate effectively, we have to recognize that we're competing for valuable resources. So we can't assume, part of this sort of leading from zero concept is that resources are in demand and we're competing, whether it's human resources, intellectual capital, physical capital, financial capital, there is competition. And so we must earn and sustain relevance to be a player in accessing those valuable resources. But also sort of what goes along with this perpetual motion nature of business is that disruption is part of the nature of business. There will always be disruptors coming into the marketplace, whatever the industry is. And so we've got some choices to make on how we navigate that ongoing disruption. It's an expected condition. The next element of this paradigm is that stakeholders are always going to expect more of the organization. Right. So what was good enough yesterday, whether it's the quality of a product, whether it's the price, whether it's how quickly you can deliver things, it's not going to be good enough tomorrow. So we've got to continually reassess this reality that people are going to expect more. It's the same with our customers, with our employees, with our other partners. And then finally, to sort of wrap it all together, we have to continually look for better ways of doing things. We have to have sort of this obsession with always driving for better, more effective, more efficient. in order to operate effectively in this new paradigm.
Well, let's punch back for just a second in regards to employees, because I think you're absolutely correct in all aspects of this, is that things change and being innovative and being able to stay ahead of the curve is absolutely part of it. HR has certainly dealt with over the course of the last year and maybe a quarter here, a year and a half, as we think about COVID has changed the dynamics of how people have expected or what they've expected. We had a demographer in here that talked about how technology has changed by 10 years in 1 year. The amount of technology knowledge that we've had to adapt to, change to, the way that we work from home, the way that is expected of from our employer, or even our benefits or our way of work each and every day has changed. When you're thinking of, you know, talking about in this particular case, leading from zero, I think we all felt that we were leading from zero in March or April of 2020, and that paradigm shift happened, and how we adapted, or how we changed to that, and how we shifted to that made a huge difference. Maybe share a story, if you would, or share an idea that you have learned from your clients or from people that may have been talking about the book that can kind of illustrate this, if you could.
Well, let's take human resources specifically, because while I agree that the human resource world had to really reassess and lead from zero, I think we can say that across all elements of an organization. But let's focus just on the human resource element. What we saw is that people had to adapt not only to a very different set of customer needs, right? So just think of what we've gone through in the pandemic era, where what customers need, how we deliver to them, what they expect, all elements of the customer engagement had to change for most businesses, most industries. But the human element, the human resource element, changed so dramatically because we had people working from home. We had them working in modified in-person environments under very different circumstances. All of that sort of says this pandemic really was sort of a turbocharging of change, a turbocharging of movement. But we can't assume that there is a normal status quo, that there's a place where things are just, quote, stable, right? Planet Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. We don't feel it because we're used to it. That's what we consider to be normal. It's the same in the business environment. There's an always ongoing change, this dynamic. And for us to think that something like COVID just was a radical departure, not so much true. It accelerated a lot of change. Now, that sort of leads to something that I refer to as differentiating your business as a human resource developer, right? Developing your valuable resources. Now, this applies not just to human resources, it applies to other resources, but focusing just on differentiating yourself from the human resource element. So consider the battle for talent, right? People want to work for organizations that care about their individual development, that provide meaning in their lives. I love the Gallup studies, and you've probably seen the Gallup employee engagement surveys, right? And one of the most important dimensions of Gallup is someone at work cares about and encourages my development. Now think about that, how that one element makes such a huge difference, yet so many organizations don't put energy into developing their resources. What does that mean playing forward? Now, the Census Bureau forecasts by the year 2030 in the United States, there will be more people older than 65 than there are younger than 18. First time ever in our country. It's happened in Japan, it's happened in other places. What does that mean for accessing talent? You have to differentiate your company, your organization, to be able to attract the kind of talent that you want. I was meeting with a group of CEOs about a year ago, and I asked them the question, how do you differentiate your company when you're trying to attract new employees? And these folks said things like, well, you know, we've got great benefits programs, or we offer really good vacation plans or health benefits and things like that. Those things are important, but that's just the ante to be in the game. Those are not differentiators. Those things, ultimately, you have to have them or you can't even compete. But you have to make intentional decisions about your talent management program. That includes everything from the way that you recruit, the way you onboard, the way you career path people, individual development plans, upskilling. One of the things that I've heard lately, and I've got two clients I'm working with that are focused on this, how do you help people decelerate in their career? You want the seasoned people to stick around as long as they want to stick around and contribute, but there are folks who still have a lot more that they can contribute but want to decelerate. Maybe they've been in the field as a salesperson, and now they're saying, you know, I'd really like to spend time in-house, maybe in a product role or in a marketing role or helping to develop new talent. So it becomes even more important that we think of how can we differentiate our business in this leading from zero mindset and saying, we want to be exemplars in resource development. I'll just give you one other data point that I think is so interesting. There was a Harvard Business Review study done a couple of years ago. They found 9 out of 10 employees in their survey, 90%, said that they would take lower lifetime compensation to do more meaningful work. 90%+. So it is not just about the money. Yes, money matters, but that development, being a resource development exemplar, really makes a huge difference.
We're talking with Dave Cafaro. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we're talking about leading from zero, 7 essential elements of earning relevance. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. You know, Dave, you talk a lot about the change that's happened, but the human condition, right? The human need to achieve, the human need to be more than just what you are, the human need to have a feeling of accomplishment. And you are right. I've seen a lot of the same surveys people talk about all the time. They go to work to accomplish something. They have a feel of success. They have a doing something that is right. And certainly that has changed over the years, even today from a generational standpoint, you know, doing it for not only yourself with the company now to the community, now to the whole planet, right? We've accelerated our growth in terms of what we have from an expectation of a company perspective. But we're looking at a leader today and we're saying to ourselves, well, this is a new strategic paradigm. This is we have to think about it from zero each and every time. That can be exhausting. That's difficult. I talk to a lot of leaders. You talk to a lot of leaders over the last year. People are tired. That's just true. This rate of change, this need to lead from zero all the time because you have to, can be tiring. What can you share with the audience, especially HR professionals, business leaders, owners, you know, and seasoned HR executives, and help them through what is they becoming more and more this realization that you have to be so much?
That's such an important aspect of leadership. And I'm glad we're having this discussion because there were years and years in leadership research where it was about the external part. This is about the internal part, the self. And leadership truly is a holistic experience. And so self-care, taking care of yourself, getting that mindset clear about who you are, what your purpose is, what you're there to accomplish. There was a time when you would look at that kind of topic and you'd say, oh, yeah, that's just the touchy-feely stuff. The fact is that we're humans. We are emotional human beings. And so you've got to speak to that stuff. You've got to recognize that in yourself, which means you've got to do things like take time for renewal, for reflection, for grounding. I have a chapter in the book that's about sustainability. And it's about sustainability in the context of leading from zero, sustaining the mindset that every day starts from zero. One thing that's fatiguing is when we sort of have this internal fight about, okay, I just need to hold on until I can see light at the end of the tunnel, until things stabilize, until things get back to normal. The fact of the matter is we have to have this sort of unceasing redefinition of normal, because normal is new every single day. So it's about sustaining this mindset, and it's on us as leaders to recognize that our organizations and we as leaders have to re-earn and sustain relevance every single day with the organization. So the way we do that is by aligning with this paradigm and recognizing and just accepting that the business landscape is dynamic. It is in perpetual motion. That's normal. Back to the, you can't put your foot in the same river twice, that the competition for valuable resources is and will remain intense. That's just the nature of it. That disruption is an expected condition. We can't be surprised when somebody comes into our business, our industry, and they've got a new way of thinking of things. That's reality. And so, you know, once we sort of accept this mindset, we develop this kind of strategic resilience, recognizing that we're always thinking forward while navigating the current environment. It helps us to sort of sustain ourselves, sustain the environment, and sustaining relevance with all of our stakeholders requires this sort of ongoing observation, awareness, understanding that we have to continually adjust. That means our style and for the organization.
We're, of course, talking with Dave Cafaro. He's the author of the new book, Leading from Zero, Seven Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. When we return in the next section, we are going to talk about those seven essential elements of earning relevance. So don't miss it. You're listening to Education HR Radio on the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back. In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. And today, our guest is Dave Cafaro. He's the author of the book, Leading from Zero, Seven Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. During the first section, we talked a lot about a new strategic paradigm. And now we're going to talk about those seven essential elements of earning relevance. Dave, you know, I'll start the segment by asking what would seem like the most obvious question. Why'd you write the book?
The reason that I wrote the book is that as a consultant and for years as a practicing executive in industry, one of the things that I recognized is that leaders in business, in nonprofits, often focus on the bottom line, but in many cases, it's the wrong bottom line. We get so caught up in the things that are easy to measure, we miss what causes those things. So cause and effect, and one of the elements is leading by cause. And it's this notion that says everything that's an outcome started with some set of ideas and some set of behaviors. What were those activities? Were they the right ones that were aligned with the vision? And did we do them effectively to get the results that we have? So what I've seen as a consultant, as an advisor, as a leader, is it's so easy to look at the numbers and focus on those outcomes without deconstructing, without getting into what was it that caused them. Now, part of the philosophy in the book is that everything is an outcome of this set of choices. The way that we earn relevance with our employees, with our customers, with our other stakeholders. And let me add, David, the definition of relevance in this setting, it's about pertinence. It's about meaningfulness. It's about importance to employees, to customers, to other partners, and so forth. And relevance has a finite shelf life. It doesn't last forever. One mistake that's so easy for companies to make is losing sight of that and thinking, we've got it, we're there. I'll share with you an example, one of my favorites of losing relevance, and I've got many of them, but one of them is a company that some of your listeners have probably heard of called the Fuller Brush Company. Old company, it started in Great Bend, Kansas in 1906, making home cleaning products. They were one of the first door-to-door salespeople companies. They had terrific sales growth throughout the 20s, 30s. By 1960, which was really when they were in their peak, their sales in 1960 dollars were about $100 million, so close to $1 billion in revenue today. Good-sized company. What happened, though, think about late 50s, early 60s. Now, their model was they had Fuller Brush salesmen that went door to door, primarily calling on the lady of the house to sell their cleaning products. Well, in the late 50s, early 60s, more and more women started working outside of the home. Families and the ways that they interacted during the day were different. And so the door-to-door sales model, calling on the lady of the house, didn't work quite so well. The world was changing around them, and they kind of missed that. Now, at the same time, there's this great HR element to this. They were still recruiting Fuller Brush salesmen when the talent pool they were drawing from was changing. There were more and more women in the job pool, and they weren't hiring them. So think of this. Their customers were changing. The sales practice was changing. The talent pool was changing. They didn't recognize that, and they failed to earn and sustain relevance. Now, at the same time that they were starting to decline, there was a startup company. And this company said, we see something that's different here. We see, first of all, access to a new talent pool we haven't drawn on in the past. So they started hiring women, and lots of them. And they changed their sales model. And they said, we want to be available when and how people want to access us. So we'll make appointments to go and see our customers. And it worked amazingly well. And that company was called Avon. And they had great success because they listened and understood the shift going on. They were able to earn and sustain relevance. Unfortunately, it didn't work out so well for the Fuller Brush Company because they did not recognize this cause and effect equation, that in order for them to have financial success, they had to earn and sustain relevance with employees, with their customers, across the board.
You know, it's a great example of from an HR perspective of looking at talent in a different way. I mean, today we're having a very similar situation where we can't find great talent, or at least if you listen to the pool of talent is challenged. I mean, there are plenty of people unemployed. It's just they aren't matching up to the talent needs of the organization. So HR is again, and leaders are again needing to be creative, to be innovative, to look at other ways to hire talent, other ways to do it. And certainly, in fairness, technology is also a big piece of that, with AI and robotics that are coming in different ways depending on the technology. As you looked at this book, and which again, of course, is Leading from Zero, Seven Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. You know, you talk about the seven essential elements of earning relevance. Take us through it. Obviously, you don't have to go through every of them right now, but just give us a recap of all of them, how you came about with them, and then we'll maybe hit a couple of them over the next relevant time here.
Sure, I'll contextualize them. So in the first session, we talked a little bit about this strategic paradigm. That's sort of the environment in which all organizations operate. Then within that, it's how we operate our organization. And these seven elements work together to help us earn, sustain relevance with our employees, customers, and so forth. So leading by cause And that's what we were just touching on. Sort of looking at the root cause is one of those elements. Understanding the cause and effect equation, not getting so lasered in on the outcomes, we fail to recognize the inputs. And, you know, this sort of boils down to, we can manage activities. We can manage the things we engage in. We only measure outcomes. So that's the leading from cause concept. Another one, and we touched on this a little bit, is this idea of unceasing redefinition of normal. So you were talking about how much things have changed and, you know, just through the COVID era, but this has been an ongoing thing. There was a really interesting Wall Street Journal article a while back, and it was talking about in the medical arena and how much new information there is. And what they said was, in 1950, it took 50 years for knowledge in medicine to double. By 1980, medical knowledge was doubling every 7 years. And then by 2010, it was 3.5 years. What do you think it is today? It's probably down to 1.5 years, if not less. And so you sort of take that context and say, the world is moving. There's lots of new information. So it's on us to recognize that tomorrow's normal isn't going to be the same as yesterday's normal. That's why this unceasing redefinition of normal is necessary. Adaptive disruption is another concept in the book. So it's one of the elements. And what that says is, we see things happening around us. We aren't going to wait for our cheese to be moved. We're going to say, what do I need to do to refine the business today so that I can be successful in the long run? I'm not waiting for something else to happen. I'm taking action now because I think it's going to make a difference. An example that I've got that I think is really a fun one of this adaptive disruption is the Rolling Stones. Now, you might not think of the Rolling Stones as a business, but in my view, by all means, they are a business. They've been in business for 6 decades, and they've managed to continually re-earn relevance. Now, over that time, they have sold 250 million albums. But think about it. Since they started out, their customers have changed a lot. The competitive environment in their business has changed a lot. The technologies, the sales channels have changed pretty dramatically. But they've managed to refine the product, the manufacturing approach, even sales and distribution. Now, think about this, David. When they started out, the way that you succeeded in the business is you put out a record and you got a DJ to play the record, get it in that rotation, and the revenue driver was selling a bunch of records. And then they would go on tour to support a record. Fast forward 60 years, today, the whole driver of revenue is you try and get people to go to their favorite streaming service and listen to at least 30 seconds of the stream, and the artist gets between 0.003 cents and 0.005 cents per stream. Translated, $3,000 to $5,000 per million streams. So the economics of that business have changed dramatically, right? But the Rolling Stones got it. They said, okay, we can practically give the music away. We need to get people to come to concerts because that's the revenue driver. So they adapted to that. So throughout their 6 decades in business, the business environment has changed, styles have changed, but they've practiced this adaptive disruption to their operating model. Last year, 2020, even though we were in the pandemic and so forth, they still had a number one hit song. Again, 6 decades into it, they had a tour going on, they had to cancel it, but early on in the tour, I read one review that said, take a look around at the audience. We've got people from 5 to 105 and everyone in between. So talk about earning and sustaining relevance. I think that's a really good example of how adaptive disruption, one of the 7 elements, has played in their favor because they've managed it very effectively.
I think that's a really good example. And that could be used for so many human resource concepts of trying to adapt to understand the different generational differences that are in a workplace, the generational realities, I like to call it almost better than differences, the changes in technology that are relevant, the changes in mindset that are relevant, the changes in regards to what people view or don't view is relevant today. I mean, if there are topics we talk about today in the workplace we would have never thought of talking about 10 years ago. Matter of fact, they were banned from the workplace in some cases. So it was just not the right thing to talk about in the workplace. So that's a great example of adapting to the disruption of life, you want to call it, adapting to the cultural norms have shifted. And I think that is a great example of that. Again, we're talking with Dave, the other Dave, the Dave Cafaro, who is the author of Leading from Zero, Seven Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. We're talking right now about those seven essential elements, first being leading with cause, second, unceasing redefinition of normal, adaptive disruption. And, you know, I know the next one is an important one because it's about process mindset. And you talk a little bit about, you know, there's a connection between process mindset and earning relevance. Talk to us about how you can practice that.
Yeah, so process mindset is really about the connection between how you think of effectiveness and how you think of efficiency. But there is certainly a mindful element to it. So efficiency, effectiveness, doing things right, doing the right things. There are three principles that are covered under that header. The first one is that every activity is part of a larger process in an organization. The next one is that every process has to align with a purpose. There has to be some purpose behind it. And then the next one is that the activity process connectivity is stronger when it's intentionally designed. So if you use the example of air travel, the overarching process is getting people from point A to point B safely, right? But underneath that, there are a bunch of sub-processes that have to work together in order to pull it off.
When you're talking about those underlying processes, how important is it to foundationally ensure you're solid?
It is essential. So I'm going to pause for a second. I have a story I'd like to share, but it may be longer than you need before the break.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about that story as soon as we get back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Dad!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to HR Educational Radio on the HR Power Hour. We want to thank all of our sponsors, of course. They are, of course, essential to our success. And we also want to remind you that you can listen to the HR Power Hour, not only on WLOB, but we're also podcasting on your favorite podcast networks all across the country. So go to Spotify, go to iTunes, go to Pandora, go to iHeartRadio, and make sure that you click on HR Power Hour and listen each and every week. There's a year's worth of stories on there. So there's plenty to listen to, get educated, and learn. Today, our guest, of course, is Dave Cafaro. He's got this great book, Leading from Zero, 7 Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. Dave's been talking about those 7 in our last segment. We were just talking about process mindset. Dave, you're about ready to tell a story. Just set it up a little bit before you tell it, and then let's hear it.
Yeah, so the example is air travel, and you think about getting from point A to B as the overall process, right? Making the flight successful, safe. And then underneath that, there are a bunch of sub-processes. So there are things like, you know, the light aircraft maintenance, heavy aircraft maintenance, cleaning the interior of the plane, the exterior of the plane, pre-flight checklist, fueling process, all those things. Each individual process is part of this larger process of getting people from point A to point B safely. When each process is performed effectively, the outcome is more likely to fulfill the purpose, safe travel, right? But if any element of the process is missed, or it's not performed effectively, fulfilling the purpose is less likely. So there's a great illustration of this and kind of the interconnectedness of processes. In 1983, Air Canada Flight 143 from Montreal to Edmonton, it was a beautiful brand new Boeing 767, very early in the use of that plane. And so the pre-flight checklist showed that the fuel gauges weren't working. So of course there's redundancies, there's a backup plan for it. And the backup plan is they do what's called manually dripping the tank. So it's sort of like a dipstick in a car where you're checking the oil, where they dip into the wing and tell how much fuel is on board. So normally it should be just fine. They checked it, and the team had not been trained on how to do this on the Boeing 767. So they did their readings 3 times to make sure there was enough fuel to get to where they needed to go. And it brings up the point of how important employee training is as a sub-process supporting this macro process of safe flights, right? They weren't trained on this manual dip calculation. And they were unfamiliar with the fact that on the Boeing 767, all measurements were metric. So they dip the tank, they overestimate the fuel by more than double, right? 2.2 pounds per kilo. So they thought they had twice as much fuel in the plane as they did. Big training miss, right? Back to supporting the larger process. As a result, when the plane was over Winnipeg, Canada, it ran out of gas at 41,000 feet. 132-ton aircraft gliding, no engines, both engines flamed out. Failing to connect the essentiality of this training process to the larger process of safely getting passengers from point A to B could have been an absolute disaster. Fortunately, it wasn't. The pilot had been trained as a glider pilot, certainly not on a Boeing 767, but he had been trained as a glider pilot. The co-pilot was in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and he knew of this base that was not too far and within glide range in Gimling. And fortunately, they were able to navigate this big bird and land it without engines safely. But the point is, every single process is part of a larger process, and every process has to align with a purpose. So strengthening that connection between process and purpose contributes to earning and sustaining relevance.
Well, there's no question, Dave, that vividly illustrates the need for training and development. And I would argue that I suspect every leader on this show today realizes the importance of training and how in this particular case you can lose or save lives because of it. You know, the last 3 points you have in the 7 essential elements of earning relevance are seeing your organizations as others do, winning hearts and minds, and sustainability. Tell us a little about those 3.
Yeah, let me highlight seeing your organization as others do, because it speaks to the need for objectivity. And when we're really honest with ourselves as human beings, it's kind of hard to be objective. I mean, we see this when we get 360-degree feedback and it surprises us. and it almost always does surprise us because we hear things we didn't know. There's lots of research on this topic, but you know, there's sort of the classic joke about the law school that had the graduating class together, and the dean of the school says, okay, you know, this is a fantastic group of students. Now that you're getting ready to go out in the world, I want to see by show of hands, how many of you were above average for your class? And everyone in the group raised their hands. 100% of them were above average. So that sort of says we're not always objective, because if 100% were above average, actually that's the new average. So the point is that we aren't always objective with our self-assessment. And since businesses are just groups of people, we have similar challenges being objective with the way our organization, our company is showing up. So organizational self-awareness means understanding stakeholders' perspectives and how we show up to them. So I offer some ideas on how to kind of hack this tendency towards subjectivity. Things like institutionalizing mechanisms to override our natural blind spots. Things that will help us to hear things more effectively, whether it's employee feedback, customer feedback, things that will just help us have a better sense of the way that other people show us, because it's so essential.
You know, I look at the seven as a in a totality look, right? And some of these seem so obvious, right? But I think part of the challenge becomes is the fact that if you're in the day-to-day, if you're in that routine of week to week and month to month, you don't necessarily think with this mindset. Is this kind of like a checklist or a operational thought process that someone should go through as they're evaluating the overall process of their organization? And how would you tell somebody, maybe a leader who's thinking about this, how would they implement something like this in a go forward fashion?
I guess to an extent it is like a checklist, and I would position it more as a philosophical checklist. When you get into this mindset that the outcome of things that we do has to lead to us earning and sustaining relevance with our stakeholders, and that relevance has to be aligned with the vision we have for the organization, it makes you go through this set of indicators that tell us how well are we doing. We talked a little bit about leading by cause and how it's easy to get pulled into the wrong bottom line. Well, the fact is there are a lot of indicators we can look to that suggest relevance, right? So think of things that people look at all the time, employee engagement surveys, employee satisfaction surveys. Those are sort of some leading indicators that can tell us, are we sustaining our relevance with this constituency? Changes in customer engagement, customer satisfaction, increasing number of complaints, unfavorable online traffic. Those are leading indicators that lead to lagging indicators like fewer new customers, fewer repeat customers, things like that. So really the idea here is to say, how do we measure our organization's relevance and see what's happening in terms of our customers, our employees, our stakeholders, before it shows up in the numbers? We can manage activities. We can manage those kinds of things. We only measure results.
Yeah, that's a great way of somebody thinking forward is how they can use this book and this information. We're going to be back for our last segment where we wrap this up. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVeddy.
And I'm Pete McVeddy from McVeddy's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Oh, what about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Again, on national podcasting, you can hear our show, HR Power Hour. Go there and get educated. Today's guest is Dave Cafaro. He has a book called Leading from Zero, Seven Essential Elements of Earning Relevance. Great book. You really need to go. By the way, where can they go? Amazon?
Amazon.com.
Big shock, right? Big shock. Exactly. Everything's on Amazon. No problem at all. Well, it is. I probably have built one of their wings based on the amount of stuff that's arrived in my house. But that's a different conversation, Dave, that we're talking about today. Right. That's a different paradigm shift. The amount of stuff I get at my house.
It is.
Let's put it that.
Right.
You know, one of the things you talk in the book, in one of the chapters, you mentioned winning hearts and minds. You are saying earning and sustaining relevance can only happen through synchronizing people, priorities, process, and technology within the organization's vision. Take it home. Wrap it all up. Talk to us about how all this comes together in winning the hearts and minds, because I think that makes a lot of sense.
So the first piece of that to unpack is the vision. People care about what a company stands for. More so today than ever in the past. Long ago, maybe it was just about a paycheck or where can I get a job. Today, in the environment where we're competing for talent, there's got to be something more. And it has to start with that vision, which is the future state picture. What do we want to mean in the community, in the business that we compete in? And so when you start with that, then the question is, how do we help people engage with that vision? Right. The fact is that creating emotional engagement with the business's vision, practicing empathy, managing organizational health, sustaining a culture that fosters helping behaviors really contribute to an esprit de corps. So many organizations and so many change efforts fail to deliver the expected results, not because of budget or resources, but really because people don't feel engaged. They don't feel that emotional connection. So to earn and sustain relevance, it's on leaders to be able to create a pull toward the vision. When you've got that pull, you've got people on board. So as leaders, we have a duty to curate an environment where people are empowered to make an impact through their ideas and their actions aligned with the vision. I'll just say really quickly, I worked for a guy early in my career when I was a trainee, a commercial banking trainee at Bank of America. This guy's name was Paul. He was so good at getting people pumped up about things. There were 100 people in this regional office, and he made everyone feel like you were his closest friend and one of the best employees. I was a lowly trainee, but I felt it. And he would stop by my desk and say, "What have you done today to help clients of the Bank of America succeed financially?" Now, think about that for a minute. He was talking about the vision of the company. He didn't say, "What did you do to make money today for the company? What did you do to help our clients succeed financially?" I found that so engaging because it made me say, what I do here matters. He cares about it. He absolutely won my heart and my mind.
No, that's a great story. And I think that that's a great question that HR and others, especially executives and CEOs, should be asking each and every day. What are you doing to make a difference? And it can be as general as that in terms of understanding where people are and where they are today. You know, Dave, you obviously took a good time to research and work through this information. I think people should definitely go out and get the book. You said it's on Amazon. Where else can they reach you? Where can they reach you directly?
So they can reach me through my website, Dave Cofaro. It's CofFaro.com. Contact information is there, information about the book, a lot of my other articles and things and videos and talks. So love to have people come and visit the site. And my hope is that people will use this book to help them raise their leadership acumen, become more impactful in the organization, because that's what it's all about.
I have no doubt they will. And of course, people can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show. They'll see, obviously, picture, bio, and links to the book, as well as to your site. Dave, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
My pleasure as well, David. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Emily Combs from Verrill. Today I want to talk a bit about performance reviews. Well-designed and executed performance reviews can be an effective tool to manage and evaluate the skills of a workforce, as well as provide feedback to employees on their performance. Performance reviews are important to ensure that employers are having their expectations of employees met, and the reviews are important to employees so that employees can develop and grow in their career. From a legal perspective, performance reviews became central in many employment discrimination and retaliation cases because they typically are the employer's first and in some cases only formal and written communication to the employee about job performance. To conduct performance reviews compliantly, reviews should be as objective and as specific as possible. The reviews should assess the particular job duties and responsibilities, the employee's performance against those requirements and responsibilities, as well as soft skills that implicate the job function, like communication and teaming. An effective review will provide details so that the employee can understand the feedback, whether positive or negative, and make the appropriate adjustments to improve their performance. Finally, be straightforward and honest so employees can improve. Giving and receiving feedback can be stressful or emotional for both parties, so try to do either with respect. For more conversation on performance reviews, please contact Verrill's Labor and Employment Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.